All right, with this being Father's Day weekend, we're going to take a moment to honor all the fabulous sitcom fathers who filled our TV screens with fumbling moments and fatherly wisdom. No matter the time or place, episode to episode, these father figures instilled in us endless life lessons. And joining us to talk about our favorite TV fathers is Wally Pedrazic, our resident television historian, author of the best-selling book, Watching TV, and a lecturer at the Department of Communication at University of Illinois Chicago. Welcome in, Wally. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me over to celebrate an important day.
Right.
Dad's Day.
Right. You know, and there was an evolution of fathers, and that's what I was thinking about. You know, everyone's got their favorite TV dads based on their favorite TV show, but there was an evolution of them over 60, 70 years on television. The earliest portrayals of dads were mostly simplistic and idealized, sticking to the script of what an ideal dad should be. The 70s and 80s gave way to a new family shows that mirrored, like, shifting society. Suddenly blended families, dual-income parents, work-from-home dads graced our screens. Fatherhood has been an evolving character on the small screen.
Yeah, and the very early ones sort of fit the society image of what was dad supposed to do? Well, dad was the one who was out earning the money. And so, yes, characters, Anita Bieber, Donna Reed Show, they would be the ones that you never really knew what they did because they didn't spend a whole lot of time showing the dad at work. You did sometimes, but mainly it was to provide the means for the nice house and for the nice family to get into their silly complications. You had departures from that, but only gently. Someone like Ozzie and Harriet, probably the quintessential, what do they do in that household? Except getting into silly complications. But if you think about it, Ozzie was kind of a cool dad. They never really dealt with it, but he's a band leader. He played music. And so it was no surprise that son Ricky becomes a real-life MTV musical star, because that's what a cool dad does. Cool dad enables things for you as the child to move forward.
Yeah, so TV dads, you talk about that. So, you know, way back when, or the 40s, 50s, early 60s, were fathers we hoped for with the family lives we dreamed of. Like dad, as you said, worked a boring, but we didn't know what it was until maybe Rob Petrie, where you saw him go to work, was steady 9 to 5 while mom was at home to manage the kids in their little bubble. You know, you talk about iconic Jim Anderson from Father Knows Best. And I remember he was an insurance guy. I actually remember his job, right? He removed his jacket, rolled up his sleeves, you know, to solve the problems. Like, they were all waiting for dad to come home, you know, to ask those questions to get them through life that day, right?
Yeah, and you know, he was perfect in that role. And I used to joke when he did Marcus Welby.
Yeah.
It was sort of like Doctor Knows Best. It was sort of, you're still the father figure. You just happen to be the doctor that's counseling the patients. So those were dads as wise. But you mentioned Dick Van Dyke, and I think that's a good example of starting to cross over into somewhat more interesting dads, in that I would love to have had, as a kid, Rob Petrie as my dad, because he worked in showbiz. He was funny. And so when mom and dad got together and put on a little show in the living room, I mean, that was not just the dad we wanted to have, but it was the dad all of our friends would be jealous of.
Well, you talk about the show business part of this. You know, Desi Arnaz was a performer. Little Ricky was almost like a fixture on the show. He's almost like a piece of furniture. He wasn't really weaved into many of the storylines, but I guess there was moments that you saw him, and he was an interesting guy as a father. You know, what other 50s and 60s, let's talk about 1950s shows. You mentioned Donna Reed. You know, that was probably as white bread as you could get.
Yeah, and in that case, it's no accident that the name of this show is the Donna Reed Show. That is, the husband, the father figure, was important, was a support, but was always a support. I think that programmers in the 50s, going into the 60s, determined that what you wanted for comedy were the wacky redheads. You needed the silly people. And the dad was sort of just there to support. And that's why it was so welcome when you had someone like an Andy Griffith, for instance. He had a cool job. He was sheriff. But he was bringing a little bit more meat to the counselor, because you saw his everyday life and you saw his son integrated into the everyday life. You couldn't help it because it was a small town. And so what you did at work was not often some distant place. It was part and parcel of what life is like in your town. And that's what it really comes down to. You touched on this before, is that dads are reassuring, they're respectable, sometimes goofy, yeah, sometimes bland, but they're who you look to when things get serious. And so, you know, mom is the moral compass, but the dad is the solid foundation that the family would be built on.
I've got two 50s and 60s clips. Let's start with Father Knows Best. Back-to-back episodes, by the way, Father Knows Best airs weekday mornings at 8 on Antenna TV. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, bud.
Say, can I talk to you alone? Just you and me?
Well, sure. Nothing wrong, is there?
No, but I just want to talk to you without Betty or Kathy butting in. Seems every time I try and say something, I get hit in the face with a petticoat.
Well, it's a tough life, son. But I'm with you.
Well, I was talking to Doug Hartley today at school.
Hi, honey.
Oh, hello, dear. How was your day?
Oh, the usual. Oh, Ruth Clark phoned. They're giving a dinner party tomorrow night. They'd like us to come.
Good. Tell them we'll be there.
Mommy, the frosting's boiling.
Oh, dear. Excuse me.
Oh, now, as you were saying.
Well, Doug Hartley, he's a guy at school, lives right down the block. He's got this car, and, Dad, you ought to see it. It's absolutely in perfect shape. It's got everything on it. Wheels, fenders, headlights, everything. Brakes were just relined. The radiator's just like new. Barely leaks at all. And the tires are in real good shape. They still got tread on them. It's a sensational car, Dad, and Doug wants to sell it. He'll let me have it for just $10.
$10?
Sure, and he's going to throw in a spare front axle and a complete set of road maps of northern Canada. What do you think of the idea, Dad?
Well, I don't know, bud. Let's think about it.
But I've got to let him know. He's got five guys that want to buy it. I've got the money. I'm paying for it myself.
Well, it's not just the money, bud.
Well, then what's the problem, Dad? I've got my junior operator's license. I'm legal.
I know, but...
Dad, I want this car more than I've ever wanted anything in my whole life.
Sound advice from Robert Young. How about some advice from Leave It to Beaver?
You know, Dad, it's funny.
What's funny?
Well, whenever we cook inside, Mom always does the cooking. But whenever we cook outside, you always do it. How come?
Oh, it's sort of traditional, I guess. You know, they say a woman's place is in the home, and I suppose as long as she's in the home, she might as well be in the kitchen.
Oh. Well, that explains about Mom, but how come you always do the outside cooking?
Well, I'll tell you, son. Women do all right when they have all the modern conveniences. But us men are better at this rugged type of outdoor cooking. Sort of a throwback to caveman days. Hand me those asbestos gloves, would you, Molly? Well, there's no sense in us cavemen burning our hands.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly today by any means. Andy Griffith was the first of his kind of a single dad on television, and I know there's a documentary that Ron Howard's daughter is doing this weekend on Apple Plus TV about dads in general. But I mean, you know, Andy Griffith and Ron Howard, he probably had two of the best TV dads, and that was Andy Taylor and Howard Cunningham.
Yeah, with Tom Bosley on Happy Days. And that's actually a wonderful bridge. You have a 70s series about a 50s settings, taking a 60s icon as the son. And there was, again, something reassuring about having a father figure, whether it be Sheriff Taylor or Howard Cunningham, saying, I'm gonna give it to you straight, and let's work on this together. And we're talking about ideal dads. These are not showbiz dads. These are dads who are there doing the day in, day out work of being a parent. And that's, it's a partnership, with the spouse, of course, but the, being a parent is probably the highest calling you could have. And, these, dads, for Ron Howard's characters, were great showpieces, in television viewing.
We're talking to Wally Podrazik, author of Watching TV, about TV's most famous fathers, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. Day player on 720 WGN, we're talking to Wally Podrazik, author of Watching TV, about TV's most famous fathers. So that was a clip from Mike Brady and the Brady Bunch giving some advice, as he always did. Let's talk about the 70s a little bit. You know, we talk about Mike Brady and the Brady Bunch. It was six kids, blended family, a dog, a maid living with them in the house. I mean, they were starting to show on television just some different scenarios.
Yeah, we're essentially... Now we're moving not just in having a father who's a pal, so to speak, but you have kids starting to live their fantasy lives of independence with dad as sort of their co-conspirator, someone who will help them do what they want to do. It's not necessarily get around mom. It's their enablers. They're saying, look, we're in this together. Let's have some fun.
What about Archie Bunker? Good dad?
Archie Bunker was a great dad. Archie Bunker loved his little girl, Gloria, Sally Struthers. And you knew he was a great dad because he put up with Meathead.
That's right. That's right.
And the only reason that he did, initially at least, was because that's who his daughter had chosen to be her spouse.
What kind of a name is Stivvy? Huh? Where you from?
Oh, Chicago.
I mean, what's your nationality?
I'm an American.
I mean, where are your people from?
They're from Poland.
That would make you Polish, then, huh?
Yeah. Anything interesting in the paper?
Yeah, 200 arrested at Vietnam Day peace demonstration. 200. They should have thrown a whole bunch of them in the can. Look at that picture there. Here they are, throwing all kinds of junk and diapers at officers of the law. Desecrating on the American flag. What the hell are them peace leaks want, anyhow?
Well, I think they just don't like the idea of America fighting an illegal and immoral war.
Well, if they don't like it, they can lump it. Take it down the road and dump it.
What are you saying America love it or leave it?
That's right. It's a free country, so am's great.
Well, that would include me too, Mr. Bunker.
Then toodly you to you too.
Well, what would our leaving solve? I mean, with or without protesters, this country would still have the same problems.
What problems?
Well, it's the war, the racial problem, the economic problem, the pollution problem.
Oh, come on, if you want a nitpick.
Nitpick? Let me tell you something, Mr. Bunker.
No, let me tell you something, Mr. Stivic. You are a meathead.
What did you call me?
A meathead. Dead from the neck up. Meathead.
Now I see what your idea of a free country is. You're free to say anything you want, but if anyone disagrees with you, they're either thrown into jail or called a meathead, right?
That's right, because this is American land that I love.
Well, I love it too, Mr. Bunker, and it's because I do like protest when I think things are wrong.
Then stand beside her. And guide her.
The right to dissent is the principle upon which this country was based.
With the light from above.
Listen to me. It's in the Bill of Rights.
From the mountains.
Why do you think we broke away from England to begin with, huh? Because we didn't agree with them. We demanded freedom.
Wide folks.
Gee, it's guys like you. It's guys like you who don't listen to reason. I mean, you're not listening to anything. You're totally closed-minded. You're prejudiced. You're prejudiced. You're prejudiced. Not anymore. I'm leaving.
America! Get away from me! My home!
sweet home.
One of my favorite dads was on Veronica Mars, where you saw this father and daughter bonding. Enrico Bellantoni played Keith Mars. Kristen Bell played Veronica Mars. And some of the best moments were father-daughter moments, where they were making pizza, or they were just trading the latest news on their individual days. And of course, if you want to see both ends of the spectrum with the same actor as a dad, but in very different ways of protecting his family, that would be Bryan Cranston.
Sure.
Who's got Malcolm in the middle as Hal Wilkerson, who's very, kind of a milquetoast or sort of completely dominated by the spouse, because there was no way that you couldn't be. And then you have same actor playing dad Walter White in Breaking Bad. And the thing is, in both cases, you had absolutely looking out for family, just as mm-hmm. James Gandolfini's sure. Tony Soprano
good
looked
comparison.
Out for his family.
Yeah.
Walter White looked out for his family right to the very end of that series. That was the most important thing for him to do, is provide for his family.
We're talking to Wally Podrazik, author of Watching TV, about TV's most famous fathers, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking about America's favorite TV dads.
When we talk about the 80s, you know, there was America's dad was Bill Cosby. I know it's really hard to separate the man, the actor, from the character that was developed. But I mean, that show, was a fabulous show. I mean, there's just no question in anybody's mind, if you watch The Cosby Show, that you wouldn't rank Cliff Huxtable at the top of that list. But then as the 80s and 90s came, and even in the 2000s, I felt like there was a rise of kind of the dopey dad, like, you know, Homer Simpson, Al Bundy, Ray Romano of Everybody Loves Raymond, Ty Burrell from Modern Family. It was just time to make fun of dad. And Bob Newhart always told me that he hated that role. It's why he didn't want to become a father, really, on his shows, is he just didn't want to become the big, dumb, dopey dad.
Yeah, because that became, if the dad was going to be more than just the breadwinner, well, then he was the object of ridicule. And that may be why one of my favorite further down the timeline dads would be John Mahoney as Marty Crane in Frasier. Granted, he's a dad of two grown guys, grown sons. Sometimes you'd be hard-pressed to describe them as grown-up, but he was the type of dad that I would love to have there, dispensing wisdom, helping me through, and telling me straight. And he was no dummy. He was definitely the smartest, practical, street smarts guy in the room. And so you have dopey dads, and then you have Marty Crane.
Well, and then you had Jerry Stiller, Frank Costanza, you know, who was that, honestly, one of my favorite characters ever.
You just named Jerry Stiller, and you have, you could just picture the character of George Costanza going one-on-one with Frank Costanza. You know, it's not the best dad, but, you know, as long as you don't have to deal with him every day, it's the funniest dad to watch.
That's true.
And they have a family dinner on with the two of them one-on-one. I could see why Jerry and the rest would just sit there and just watch. Just watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Funny.
Oh, yeah. And it absolutely was. I mean, the outtakes are even my favorite. You talk a little bit about animated dads, a little bit about Homer Simpson, but you also note Fred Flintstone. He was a dad who cared about his kids. Bob Belcher from Bob's Burgers, Peter Griffin from Family Guy. I mean, these are some, you know, I almost put them on the same wavelength as Jerry Stiller. They're a character within their own character.
Yeah, and that makes it sort of acceptable and even kind of harmless, because you can say it's only a cartoon. So he could do really silly stuff. But you know what? When Fred Flintstone became a dad, I mean, it didn't start out that way. The Flintstones started out with just Fred and Barney and Wilma and Betty. But then Wilma became pregnant, and suddenly he's a dad.
Yeah.
And that was quite a turn for an animated sitcom.
It was. No, no, it absolutely was. There's also, you know, out of the contemporary shows that are out there, I think one, you know, I loved Modern Family. I love that show. I think the dads in there were a lot of fun. Anthony Anderson plays on Blackish, quite entertaining. And here's a clip. He's ticked off, and this is perfect for today. He's ticked off at being gypped on Father's Day, so he comes up with a new holiday that might better serve him and the rest of the dads across America. Let's take a listen.
This is going to be huge. We already have a list of potential sponsors that we're going to pitch. Coke owns Christmas. Hallmark owns Valentine's. Picture this. Bud Light presents Daddy's Day. We winning!
Dre, there is nothing wrong with old school Father's Day.
Yeah, maybe if you're an old school father who just came home, down to Scotch, beat his kids, and went to sleep.
I'm so tired of hearing you whine about that. Oh, and by the way, dummy, this is the dumbest idea of all the dumb ideas you've ever had.
See, this sweet kiss of sunshine is the dude that Father's Day was built for. Me? I'm different. I take my kids to soccer practice. I help my children with their homework. I wore a Bjorn, damn it!
Is that that little half bra with the baby hanging out the front? You know, you really ought to stop mentioning that, son.
Ooh, a family meeting. I'll be in my room. Come on, Rashida.
Hey, where are you going?
To my room. I just said that.
Perfect example. Had you spoken to old school father that way, he would have knocked all your teeth out.
Wisdom teeth included.
See?
You know what? I'm gonna call myself an Uber because it looks like you're about to get a whoop.
Okay, look. I'll make it quick. All right? There's a new holiday, Daddy's Day, sweeping the nation, spearheaded by your main man, Trickity.
Okay. You girls should go.
All right. Family. You have till Sunday.
No.
And there you have it. So you've got he's creating Daddy's Day or whatever it might be in the fall during football season when he can really enjoy it. You know, feeling that Father's Day is too close to Mother's Day and everyone's spent all their energy on Mother's Day already. He wants to be celebrated. And that's what I love. Well, I, Pedraza, pick up the latest edition of best-selling book, Watching TV. It is the comprehensive history of television and all your favorite TV shows as well. Wally, always a pleasure getting your insight on all this.
Thank you so much. Have a happy Father's Day.
Thank you, sir. Very much. Appreciate it. All right, a little history coming up next on 720 WGN.